Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. We have a huge lineup for you today. We're going to visit with Ronald Surpass at 12:30. We'll talk about the investigation into Mayor LaToya Cantrell and Officer Jeffrey Vappi. At 12 o'clock, Stephanie Regal, business writer for the Times-Picayune. Could the Archdiocese of New Orleans leaders face criminal charges stemming from the expanding clergy sex abuse investigation? Stephanie Regal writes a recent story about the warrant that the state police have. We'll visit with her then. Colonel Alex Gann, he's the retired colonel and fighter pilot for the Israeli Air Force, now living in a small village in northern Israel. We check in with him about every other week to find out what's actually going on the ground there. We'll visit with him at 11:30. Coming out at 11, the NOLA Coalition Hour with Chandler Nudick, the executive director of Community Works. We set aside some time every Tuesday at 11 a.m. to talk to folks that are involved with the NOLA Coalition. And we've had been the beneficiary of being able to visit with a lot of really interesting folks doing a lot of great things. The parish president of Jefferson Parish, Cynthia Lee Shang, joins us at 10:30. We'll talk about hurricane season, hurricane protection, and other things going on in and around Jefferson Parish. We know that the state legislature is in session. We know that insurance is a top-of-mind issue for a lot of folks. One of the topics is fortified roofs, and Senate Bill 484 by Senator Royce Duplessis, District 5, expands what the insurance commissioner is going to be able to do. He's here to talk to us about it. Senator, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell.
It's nice to talk to you. I know you guys have been busy. Tell us about 484.
Right. So, look, it goes without saying that this is a top issue. It's on the cover of the Advocate this morning. This issue is not partisan, or at least it shouldn't be partisan. And the reason we're focused on fortified roofs is because it has been identified as one of the quickest ways we can see a reduction in rates for homeowners. Everybody agrees on this, not just the consumers, but the insurance industry itself, even Commissioner Temple. So what we're trying to do with this bill is put some teeth in the current program, which the current program does not have any real teeth, in my opinion. We modeled the fortified roof program after the state of Alabama, which saw a lot of success. We funded it last year, where we got about 3,000 roofs covered, $10,000 grants, but there's no guarantee of a premium reduction. So if you or I take advantage of a grant, $10,000, we strengthen our roof, or you pay out of pocket without the grant, there should be an expectation of a premium reduction. Right now, the only thing that we have in law is that the insurance company comes up with its own, quote, actuarial justification. I'm not going to try to get too technical, but basically the insurance company gets to decide, based on its comfort level, what the discount should be. And I just don't think that's right. I think certainly if we use a state taxpayer dollars for the grant program, there should be an expectation that consumers are going to get a certain discount. So that's what the bill is aiming to do. Now, we're currently negotiating because we know that getting a hard mandate through the legislature will be a challenge. We started out at a 20% discount. What we're trying to do now is push it to where if an insurance company doesn't provide its own actuarial justification, we want the insurance commissioner, Commissioner Temple, to do his own actuarial justification, make it public. That way, customers have a better idea of what kind of discount they should expect. That's what we're trying to do with this bill.
The insurance industry created a fortified roof program. This is their baby, right? It would seem to me that they should have a strong desire to stand behind it. They
totally
talk about
agree.
How it's going to save dollars and this, that, and everything else. I mean, they ought to be able to wet somebody's whistle here as to how this is going to work.
You hit the nail on the head. Like I started off saying that this should not be a partisan issue. I don't believe that it is. And in fact, this is an issue where, again, consumers benefit, so do the insurance companies, because if you strengthen a home, that minimizes the risk when there's a storm. So insurance companies end up paying out less because you have stronger roofs to protect the home. So they should be coming out in favor of this. But we have gone so far. We've gone so far in the direction of deregulation and just letting the companies decide. I asked this question in committee last week because I serve on Senate Insurance. At this rate, what is the point of even having a Department of Insurance if we're not going to have some regulations in place? There has to be some hand guiding the industry, because right now there's no hand guiding the industry, and the insurance companies should be supporting this bill.
No, absolutely. In fact, in many areas, quite frankly, Florida being one, the contrary is almost true. Now, if you don't have a fortified roof program, a fortified roof on your home, it's very difficult for you to sell your home, and you are going to get less, not more. So you're going to make less money. It's hard to sell your home. Insurance companies are now not insuring homes without a fortified roof, and there's no guarantee of a savings. So
that's
it's
right.
Worked in the open market there, it's worked to the contrary,
right.
Which is unlike what happens, Senator, and I know you know this, in the automobile world. In the automobile world, if you do certain things, they give you a discount.
Right.
You know,
right.
It just kind of makes sense. And what do people do? They go do those certain things.
Exactly. And because we know what those discounts are, you incentivize the discounts. What we're trying to do with the bill now is we're trying to make that information public. We want the consumers to know what the expected discount can be, and that should drive competition. Commissioner Temple has said often that he wants to drive competition, make the market. So we're saying, okay, let's drive competition. We want to know what insurance companies are what discounts they're given for giving a fortified roof. So that should incentivize more people to get out there and strengthen their roof. And then insurance companies should compete with one another to give the best discount to get the most customers. To me, that makes sense.
Let me ask you this question. Have we identified a single insurance company that's writing in the state of Louisiana right now that offers a discount for a fortified roof?
I can't name a company. There are companies that are giving discounts, but what we do know is that there are companies that are not giving discounts. We know of an instance where somebody spent $30,000 on a roof and didn't get a discount.
Why are we not advertising that? Because you know the best way to get the others to come to the table is for you, me, everybody else to advertise the companies that are giving discounts for fortified roofs. Because I talked to three homeowners. At Jazz Fest, three homeowners at Jazz Fest, not a single one of their insurance companies give them a discount for their, and they all put fortified roofs on.
Yeah, that's literally what my bill is aiming to do. We're going to make that information public. That's literally what Senate Bill 484 is aiming to do. They're going to have to publish who's giving what discounts.
But I think we ought to publish it now. We ought to advertise it right now.
I agree. I agree with you.
You know, I mean, because this is craziness. I mean, what's actually happening here, that we want to encourage a conduct, we want to encourage an activity, we want to encourage a debt, because the state grant, as you well know, is not enough money to cover the vast majority of these roofs in a fortified manner. And so they're having to dig into their pockets in order to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, the commissioner and many in the industry just have this fundamental and philosophical disagreement with putting mandates in place. And that's where the bill started out. Like I said, we had a 20% reduction. Now, we don't want to stop an insurance company from going past 20% if they want to give a 30% discount.
No, but, absolutely not.
You know, we don't want to do that, but that has been the sticking point for why we've had to amend the bill, if you will, and try to get it to the point where we want to advertise so that we know that insurance companies are competing to give the most discount, the best discount. Look, residents are getting squeezed, and we need to be spending more time on this particular issue, because again, this has been the singular method that's been identified to get rates lower the quickest. Because, look, we can't stop these storms like we would like to. We know climate change is another issue, a bigger conversation. But if these storms were going to keep happening every so many years, the one thing that we can do right now is strengthen homes and strengthen roofs. So everybody should be supporting this bill.
Is there not an opportunity for us to tweak what we're doing with Citizens to create an incentive for insurance companies if they take on part of this stuff that, you know, that we can move the book of business with some type of incentive that they're going to offer?
Well, we had a bill
for fortified roofs.
Yeah, we had a bill. Representative Matthew Willard had a bill that would have reduced that surcharge, that premium increase from 10% mm-hmm. to 5%. That bill, unfortunately, was defeated in committee. So there have been some attempts, but they've just been not received well in the legislature, unfortunately.
I mean, you know, if the industry as a whole doesn't want to come together and do what they should do, I mean, what's to prevent us from doing it on the citizen side? You know, I mean, a lot of these companies that are coming in want to book a business from Citizens. They get a guaranteed market share from the day they come into this state, right?
Right.
That's a value. That's a huge value. It's a huge marketing savings. It's a huge transitional savings. It would seem to me we ought to be able to do something. I mean, there should be some carrot out there for the consumer as it relates to wanting to go spend dollars on a fortified roof. I don't know. Just a thought.
I totally agree. And that's the spirit behind this bill. You know, we want to get people off Citizens. That's the idea. Because, again, they're paying more to be on Citizens. But there should be a clear incentive, and there should be some guarantee or expectation that you will get at least a minimum discount by fortifying your roof.
So let's move on. A big vote potentially today. I'm not sure if they're still talking about bringing HB 800 to the House floor relative to the Constitutional Convention. I think I know this for a fact that you are opposed to this Constitutional Convention in the process, that is, as to how it's going forward, right?
That's correct. Especially
Do you have any feel as to where we are right now?
I'd say there's still more questions than answers. I think in terms of my feelings, I know for a fact that many of my colleagues, Democrats and Republicans, have concerns with this and the way this is being done. I think any level-headed, objective, reasonable person will be open to a conversation around making changes to our Constitution and ensuring that it's doing what it's supposed to do on behalf of our people. But not in this way. There's simply no good argument that can be made that we are going to open up our Constitution and do it in a two-week period, when the last time we did it, it took more than 2 years. And this idea of a limited constitutional convention, it's not a reality. There's no such thing as a limited constitutional convention. Once you open up that Constitution, everything is on the table. So people have legitimate concerns. I do sense that this convention will not take place during this current legislative session, which was initially being proposed. That is my sense today, Newell, but that could change. We're going to be here until June 3rd. So I don't know what HB 100 will ultimately end up looking like, or if it'll make it through the process. It'll require 2/3 vote on both sides. But right now, many of my colleagues have real concerns with this.
We're visiting with Senator Royce Duplessis Royce, let me ask you this question. You've been talking to some constitutional lawyers. Most are fall on the same side of this issue. You just kind of mentioned it. Why are we going through this exercise of exempting MFP, exempting homestead exemption, exempting this, exempting that out of the Constitutional Convention? When you read the Constitution, it's clear once the delegates impanel themselves within a constitutional convention, they're not bound by anything.
That's
anything
right.
that
That's
they right. decide inside of that constitutional convention, and it passes, goes to a vote of the public. I don't really like this. It's almost as if we're bamboozling the public by going through this exercise. And it's really just maybe a forecast of what we think is going to happen. But people think it's guaranteed that homestead exemption's off the table. Said, no, not so fast. That's not true.
That's right.
And I said, well, that's not what they're saying.
Right.
I said, well, they're lying. I mean, because the fact of the matter is that once they go into a constitutional convention, everything's back on the table. They can do whatever they want.
That's absolutely correct. That's 100% correct. The Constitution is very clear. This issue was even discovered when they did the last constitutional convention. So it sounds good. It feels good to say, oh, we're going to strike this. We're going to take that out. We won't touch this. It's just simply not the reality. Once you go into a constitutional convention, everything is on the table. So you could look at these amendments as somewhat of a gentleman's agreement or some public statement that these issues won't get touched, but there's no way to protect that when you're in a constitutional convention. So it's meaningless.
I thought the rules of the legislature were that you can't amend a bill that has no legal standing.
This will be challenged. There are a lot of constitutional questions. Look, Newell, we are serving in districts right now. And again, I don't want to get too technical, but all of this stuff can be challenged. So these amendments that are being proposed, if HB 800 is to pass, all of the questions you're raising can be challenged. And even the districts that we're serving in right now have already been deemed unconstitutional, the State House and the State Senate, these districts. So all of these things can be challenged down the road. I'm not saying that they will, but there are a lot of questions around the constitutionality of what's going on right now.
But one would agree this is a much clearer path than some of those other issues that you're talking about. I mean, it's pretty much right there in the language, right, in the Constitution. I mean, sometimes I can be a little dense, so I read it at least 10 times.
No, it's straightforward. It's very straightforward.
I can't find the alternative, right?
I'm looking. It's very straightforward.
Well, I wanted to bounce that off of you. I thought I was reading that correctly. I just don't understand why we're just not telling the public the truth. We're going through this exercise. Why? I don't know. For the sake of what? Because it means absolutely zilch. Nada. Nothing.
Yeah. And if you look at typically when we have constitutional amendments on the ballot, they're usually met with skepticism by and large. Right. Some do get passed, but they're usually met with skepticism. If this thing does make it through, even if not at this time, and we go into a convention at some other time, and this thing is on the ballot, I just think if it gets rushed through in this manner, this process, people are going to be skeptical. And I think it's going to be met with a lot of skepticism when it's time to vote on it. So I think we should slow this whole thing down and do it in a way where the public can have some level of trust and confidence, because right now they don't.
Yep. Folks need to listen to Royce Duplessis. Thank you so much, Senator. Truly appreciate your time. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Newell.
All righty, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. Preliminary indications are that we could have a very active hurricane season. Now, these are just projections. They're not absolutes. They look at certain things, and they're saying that there are a lot of things lining up that is maybe a little bit of a dangerous jambalaya relative to hurricane production. And as such, Cynthia Lee Sheng, the president of Jefferson Parish, made an observation the other day that we need to be ready. Contraflow is not something that's really going to be able to happen. You need to heed the advice of public officials and other experts in the field. And she joins us. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Noel.
So what motivated you to come out about a month in advance of hurricane season to really start stimulating this conversation?
Well, I think like how you talked about, it's a very active, we think it's going to be a very active hurricane season. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration does not put out their forecast for a couple of weeks, but many of the earlier models that went out in April show that this season is going to be much higher than average, which is never something we want to hear. And we look at that coupled with the rapid intensification of storms that we've seen in the past few years, really show that the old model, you know, in the world post-Katrina and what we have of like looking at the television screen and, you know, your family thinking when you can leave, because nobody wants to leave. We only want to leave if we have to leave. It's a tremendous amount of expense. It's loading your car and getting a hotel room, going to stay at a relative. Nobody wants to actively take that on if we don't have to. So I think we all go through this, you know, mind exercise of what a time frame looks like for. So we've been in that mode for the past several years. And the message is you need to do it sooner. Whatever you thought the time was to leave, it needs to be quicker, sooner, earlier. So I think trying to get into the mindset of people of doing that is what's so critical, because these storms are just coming at us much quicker. Contraflow, like we saw in Ida, we would have had to have implement contraflow when the models for Ida at the time, the cone was still over a four-state area, you know, going from Houston to Mobile. So we missed that opportunity for contraflow that time. And nobody could have done contraflow because it was just too big of a cone. So this is the new reality that we're in now, and I think everybody needs to kind of wrap their minds around it for your own family. And look, this is a family-by-family decision, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. It's a family by family decision. If you have very vulnerable people. Go ahead, Noel.
No, I was just going to say, not to mention the fact that there's been a significant number of improvements to the I-10 system that have actually diminished the possibility of contraflow and modifications of that, because I think a lot of engineers and everyone kind of know that we tried it. It kind of sort of worked, but not without a lot of difficulties.
Mm-hmm. And look, the coordination has to be done at the state, which is a tremendous effort, but then you need the cooperation of your surrounding states. And I think, you know, at that time, everybody was still in the cone. Our surrounding states were still in the cone. No state was going to say, yeah, bring all your people, turn all the highways coming into us, because because the thing could have flipped on us, you know. So that makes it very difficult when this thing's shifting around on us to know what area has to be like all routes go out. So much, very, very difficult, very complicated. It takes a lot of time. You know, if the state has to do it, it takes a lot of time. And I guess that's just the message, is these storms are coming in where they're not giving us the time for that. So people thinking, well, I'm not going to, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, I think people take the message, well, I'm going to leave when contraflow turns on. We're going to say, like, let's erase that from our minds. That old pattern, that old template is not workable for us anymore.
There are even some things that we do today that are very difficult to manage as well, right? When you have this speed of the storm, a lot of the storms that are actually forming just right off the Yucatan Peninsula, which is just a hop, skip, and away from the mouth of the river. Next thing we know, we have a storm on our doorstep. A lot of the services that are provided for the elderly, for those that are ill, for the folks that suffer from mental illness, and the list goes on and on and on, much harder to execute relative to that without a plan. And just even if all the things are clicking right from a government perspective. And I guess my point is that sometimes you just can't sit around and rely on what other people are going to end up doing for you, because you never know whether or not it will be able to be executed, right?
Right. I mean, what we look at, the problem, you know, Jefferson Parish, the whole greater New Orleans area, is a very large population anyway to have to try to leave. You know, I remember with Ida, also state sending us buses was not available to us because the timelines were, you know, too quick for us. And so when we're looking at that, we have to say we can only do so much. Government's only going to be able to do so much. What if we can't get the buses? What if the state can't send us the buses? Then we look at, well, we need to try to help the most medically vulnerable, the people who maybe are bedridden, the people who need extra. And so we do tabletop exercise, like maybe this is only the people we can help, is the people who, you know, are really, you know, medically vulnerable. Maybe we can just send some buses for those people. So I think we do a lot of these exercises. Our team does a lot of these exercises throughout the year to say, what are we available to do with the speed at this storm coming at us? But it's always, you know, we're relying on everybody with a car and everybody who knows something with a car to get out on their own. You know, we can only do so much. And that's why we're saying, you know, to evacuate over 1 million people in the greater New Orleans area, everybody cannot wait till the last minute. It's physically impossible. And the last situation we wanted to be doing, and this is decisions that I have to make, and make no mistake, it's not me making the decision. I have a very well-trained team that is helping, and we're going to do this as a team. You know, it might come out of my mouth, but it's not, you know, I rely on a team of our people who are training for this all year to work this out with us. We just need everybody to leave earlier to physically get people out on time. And look, I likened it at the press conference. I likened it. People have this mindset, well, like, they spend all this hotel money and it didn't hit and they come back and it's almost like they made the wrong decision. That was not the wrong decision to make. That's the right decision to make. You make a decision based on the data that you have. If it didn't end up coming to us, it does not mean that you made the wrong decision. And the last thing we want is people in their mind for the next storm to say, well, I left last time and it didn't hit us, so I made the wrong decision last time, so I'm going to stay this time. That whole way of thinking is wrong. It's the same reason that if I call for, you know, work to close and then it doesn't hit us, it's not the wrong decision I made. You make the right decision with the data you're given, and whatever happens with Mother Nature happens. And so for these storms, for me, of course, I'm going to get my family out much earlier because I just want to have a free and clear mind to do my work without worrying about them. But now, after I've seen everything, I would also have that mindset if I'm not in public office anymore. I'm going to leave early. I'm just going to I can afford it. I can afford a hotel. I have a working car. I'm going to get out early. And then no matter what happens, I'm safe. And like what I was saying, I liken it to when you put your seatbelt on every day, we realize that's a small thing to do. It would save our lives, you know, if we were to get in an accident. But when we drive home at the end of the day and get in our front of our house, we don't say, oh, I didn't need to put my seatbelt on today because I didn't get in an accident. We don't think that way. And we can't think that way with storms either. We just have to leave. If we're in the cone, if it's dangerous, if we tell you to get out early, it's just get out. And then if you didn't have to get out, there's going to be other people where it hit who should have left, and they're going to be the sorry ones, you know? So we want everybody to start thinking about this new mindset with the rapidly intensification of storms. And the message is, you know, it's not the way it used to be. It's just these storms are coming at us much, much quicker. Otis, you know, rapid intensification, we used to call it 35-mile-per-hour increase in a 24-hour period. Well, Otis last year did 110-mile-per-hour increase in a 24-hour period. That was coming at us three times quicker. It was off the chart. So this is a new kind of world we're living in. I don't want to make it so scary, but the storms coming at us so quick really is a new phenomenon we're seeing in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and a lot of these are these phenomenons are things that are not easily explained, right? And I'm like you. You know, when you look at it, and let's say you leave and nothing really happens, and count your blessings.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, yes. You know, it's not like you missed anything at home because you know that there's going to be some power outages. You never know if it's going to be you. You probably won't have internet. You're not going to have cable. You're going to have all kinds of different, you know, inconveniences that are going on. So it's not like you miss much. And no one else is going to work, right? Because
you bring up the perfect point. After Ida, you left. Some people left before Ida, and everybody else was trying to get out after Ida because it was miserable here. And then we didn't have gas. People were waiting in line for gas, you know, big fight at the gas stations because that's what people were trying to leave, to get out of here. So much better to just leave early, keep, you know, the stress levels down, be settled, because it wasn't fun here post-Ida, you know?
Let's
it was
talk
not a good community at that time.
Let's talk internally some things that you guys have done that I think have made a difference. We had a serious rainstorm not too long ago, and I know that y'all have been really big in creating these retention ponds throughout the area. And y'all were, I believe, relatively pretty quick turning that option on. And I think in many cases probably saved a lot of folks' cars from flooding.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I saw, you know, former Parish President Tim Coulon shortly after that. And it was, you know, he said in decades ago that storm would have flooded so many structures in Jefferson Parish. But we've really, you know, made so many improvements over the decades with the CELA program, with our internal drainage, that very few structures, you know, you hate to see any structure or any car, you know, get water in it. But given the severity of that storm and how much rain poured down on us, we fared very, very well with that storm, you know. And that's just the investments that we've made in our drainage system and in retention ponds and in how we try to move water. And then that's constantly we're trying to do that, right? This is the big threat that we have. We're continually trying to do that. And likewise, like with hurricanes, we have made, you know, once you live through it, we've made vast improvements over how we shelter people. Immediately after Ida, we had to have people who were, you know, their homes were ruined. We had to take them in our gyms. We know we're much, much further on how to take care of these people now at our gyms. We're going to do it at more gyms. We're going to have volunteers helping us. We have a medical registry. You know, we've just do exercises on that now all over the place. We've gone and raided our capacity for our wind in our buildings. We're going to have more people, more Jefferson Parish employees stay during the storm, being housed in buildings. So as soon as they move out, they're ready to go and assess the damage and get our public work systems back on. You know, we doubled our fuel storage after Ida. You know, we didn't have enough gas. We were giving gas to, I always say I had to tell Natalie J. Rowe at Second Harvest she couldn't have any fuel. We had fuel and she called me for fuel and I'm like, I can't give it to you. I need to give it to the first responders and the police. And it's a terrible thing to have to say to someone who's trying to get food out to the public. So we've doubled our capacity for fuel storage. We bought generators and we really, after having lived through that, really are in a good position compared to other communities because we've had to live through it. So we really spend a lot of our time not in hurricane season, training and pre-positioning assets and going through the sort of the mind exercises, as you will. We've just participated in a statewide, you know, with GOSEP training, and they give our team scenarios as to the decision-making that would happen and at what time. So the same reason we need families to kind of go through a little bit of what we do, of having those conversations with your family, pre-buying your medications, pre-buying your, you know, I got Amazon dog food in my Amazon cart right now. Like, I try to have dog food for the whole season, right? Like, just doing, right. Make sure your vehicle's in working order, doing all those things. So when it hits, and we know once we get there, no, one day it's going to be like, uh-oh, we got this storm that brewed up. You're not freaking out. You're kind of ahead of the game. And that's what we're asking our families to do right now. It's still early, but this is the time to be doing that, those kind of things.
No doubt about that. Thank you so much for joining us, Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang of Jefferson Parish. Appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you, Noel. Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Columbia, again, is in the news. 13 federal judges pledged not to hire clerks from Columbia University. They call it the incubator of bigotry. No longer an elite university. They go on to say that Columbia has disqualified itself from educating the future leaders of our country. The judges wrote a letter on Monday to Columbia President Manoush Shafiq, informing her of their decision to boycott the university because of the anti-Israel encampment and what they see as the school's lack of viewpoint diversity. They go on to say that Columbia University has become ground zero for the explosion of student disruptions, anti-Semitism, and hatred for diverse viewpoints on campuses across the nation. They also ask that they identify these kids, because otherwise, if they don't identify these students who participate in these crazy activities and destructive activities, that they just have to protect themselves and have to assume that this is the nature of Columbia. You know what would change this, folks? The NYPD right now should be assembling a bill and drop a bill on the president, Manoush Shafiq, because she has the complete total inability to make a decision. And as a result of her inability to decide what to do, she allowed this thing to fester. She allowed it to get worse. She allowed it to get more problematic. And then when it's intolerable and they can no longer handle this thing any longer, after trying to negotiate with these whack-a-mole students that don't even really understand what it is that they're protesting for, we call in the troops, the police. There's no upside for them. And you know who really doesn't have an upside? The taxpayers of New York City. They foot this bill. They paid for this silliness that went on in Columbia University. If I was the chief of the NYPD, I'd be putting together a bill and dropping that on Columbia University. They can afford it. And guess what's not going to happen the next time if you make them pay for the services this time? They will not wallow in their own stupidity by not making a decision. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. On the text line, quit lying. They're not supporting terrorists. They just want the senseless killing of innocent civilians to stop. So when they say, I am Hamas, I guess we should ignore that attestation. Or when they say, from the river to the sea, or that they hate Zionists, or when they go on and on and on about how the Israelis have no place in the Middle East, or forever. Sure. It's just about the senseless killing of the Palestinians.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.